We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Mike Gorman, and you're listening to Green with Envy with Will, Adam, and Greg.
All right, everybody. Breaking news edition of Green with Envy. No Celtics game tonight, but that does not stop the news cycle, nor does that stop the mad scientist Brad Stevens locking in Drew Holiday on a four-year extension. We're going to break it all down for you coming up here on Green with Envy. You know the deal. Let's lock in. What up, what up, what up? Welcome into a breaking news edition here of Green with Envy. Drew Holiday, four-year, $135 million extension. Brad trying to keep the core together. This is your boy Will Weir checking in. How you doing? How you living? And riding shotgun, we got my best friend, co-host, and the coach of our podcast. And he's actually in his player coach gear as we speak after a power outage shut down the Green with Envy men's basketball team tonight. It's the one and only Greg Menakis. What's good, man?
What's good? We're locked in. Like, we just locked in Drew Holiday, dude. I'm pretty excited. So to kind of set the scene for everybody, we're warming up for our game, for our men's league game. And our buddy Remy, shout out Remy, who also grew up in Massachusetts, just comes. He's like, "You see Drew Holiday sign this extension?" And I was like, fuck out of here. Like, what are you talking about, man? And he's like, no, like, it literally just dropped. And we saw the numbers. We were kind of talking about whether or not this would be a good thing for the Celtics. We've had about 90 minutes to think about this. Seeing the report from Woj here on the screen, I know you were listening to a little bit of Bobby Marks kind of breaking this down. So 4 years, $135 million. What that comes down to is about $33.5 million average annual salary. But according to Keith Smith, shout out Keith, he said that this is actually going to save the Celtics about $9 million next year in terms of their salary cap. So Although there is a lot of money that we're committing to Drew Holiday in the short term, this definitely helps the team. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, so the way that it kind of worked out is that he was going to have an extension option at the end of the year. And he could have picked that up, and there was some likely bonuses built into that, which apparently, and this is from Bobby Marks broke this down, that all of those expected bonuses would have gone into his salary number. And so he would have been up around 39, just under 40 million, basically, next year. And so now he's going to drop that extension, and he gets the long-term security here with the 4 years, 135, and his salary for next season is going to drop down to 30 million. So at least for next year, it's going to give the Celtics some flexibility to stay away from being that second apron team. Going forward, the year after that, there's almost no avoiding it because Jason Tatum's Supermax is going to get done this summer. That's going to kick in. And you're just, you know, you already got Chris Stapps on the books for that year. You've got Jalen under his Supermax. And we'll get to what this means for Derek White and others here in just a minute. But with Holiday, you now have him going from about 39 to 30 million next year. Then it will be in the following years about 32.5, just about 35. And then that final year is going to be at just under 37.5 or so. Yes, I believe that's correct, actually.
Yeah, last year's a player.
Yeah. So an expensive deal for the Celtics. But I mean, honestly, like, I think I'm a little surprised that it's 4 years versus 3 years, given that I think Drew Holiday is 33 years old today, right? So, you know, and he's not too far away from being 30. He'll be 34 by the time the season starts next year. So I think the 4 years for me is a little surprising. I think the money, especially when you factor in the Celtics being able to get it down to $30 million next year, I think it makes a lot of sense. And it, I think what it really shows is the value that this team has seen with Drew Holiday. Because if you look at it on the surface, you know, his numbers are down. We've talked about this all year, the sacrifice that every one of these Celtics players has made. And I've seen the discourse, you know, on Twitter a little bit, especially with some games against the Bucks recently, of, you know, do the Bucks have buyer's remorse with, you know, going for Dame Lillard and trading it out for that offensive ceiling, but falling back on defense. And, you know, if they had to do it all over again, would they? Well, you know, it's, you know, they probably wouldn't do it, to be 100% honest. That's at least the way it looks right now. But with the Celtics, it looks like the value of Drew Holiday is not just on the court but off the court. And I know recently, I'm trying to remember what podcast it was, they were talking about, actually it was the Ryan Russillo podcast, and he did an interview with Adam Lefke, who's one of the hosts of different shows on the TNT platform. And he talked about, you know, his time spent with Jay Wright, who's been a Team USA basketball assistant. And they ended up on the topic of Drew Holiday. And they were like, when you're making Team USA, the first guy that always came up in the room was Drew Holiday, because he was the glue guy. He was the guy that was going to set the tone. He was the guy that's going to come in and do the work and be the example. And that's what I think you're seeing, you know, reading into this, other than just what we see night to night from Drew Holiday, likely to get his sixth all defensive, potentially get his sixth all defensive nod this season, is that behind the scenes, he's just as important as what you see on the court.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, with the Bucks and the way that they're kind of thinking about it, just going from Bucks fans and other people in the Bucks podcast universe, like our guy Ty, who also works for Blue Wire, I know that he tweeted out, I'm trying to find the tweet right now, but he tweeted out the other day that there's no way, if you could do the trade over again, that he would go for Dame. He said rather have the identity that the Bucks had, because they had an identity with Drew Holiday. I don't know what their ceiling was, but with Dame, they don't really have an identity, right? And that's the thing that's really missing with this new Bucks team. Although the Bucks have played the Celtics well, you know, two 20-point victories over the Celtics is nothing to, you know, nothing to sneeze at. Yeah. But, you know, with Giannis going out, who knows? So we'll talk about that in a second. I think with Drew, the big thing for me, man, like, I'm not worried about the 4 years, because we were definitely already like going to commit to 2 years of Drew Holiday, right? Like the extension year, we, you know, after next year, we probably still feel good about another year of Drew Holiday. 4 years down the road, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. It's also a player option where if there's anybody that I don't think is in the world, anybody in the NBA universe that wouldn't just opt in to get their money, I feel like it's Drew Holiday. He's like such a good guy and such a high character guy. At the end of that, if he doesn't feel like he can still play basketball, he's one of the guys that I don't think would just opt in for the sake of opting in. I think he would probably be like, you know what? I've had a great career. I've made a lot of money. My family's set for life. My wife's a professional athlete.
Or he pulls an Al Horford to a degree where, you know, if that year is worth 37.5, maybe you do something similar to what he just did now, but it's 2 years, $40 million instead. Right. You know what I mean? So he gets a few extra, he gets a little bit extra, but gets 2 years out of the deal. So I think there will be options when the Celtics.
You can always trade him, man. Like he's going to still have value. And it's a contract. You know, we always talk about in the past with the Celtics how we didn't have enough of those contracts to kind of aggregate together to make a deal for a bigger piece. I don't know the contract implications with the new salary cap and aprons and all that stuff with aggregating salaries, but I do know that you can trade 37.5 in that last year or whatever it is pretty easily. And, you know, there's probably going to be some players out there that are going to be worth that money. Drew Holiday's always going to have value. Just he's the teammate of the year almost every year. He's one of those guys that's a high character guy. So any franchise would want to bring on Drew Holiday, and he's always going to have value, especially as you see him now transitioning into this role with the Celtics, where he's a knockdown shooter from the corners.
Yeah, and that point about aggregating salaries is actually pretty important, because Celtics, once we get into that second apron, which maybe we can avoid it next year, it will be unavoidable the year after that. But once we get in there, the Celtics can't send out multiple salaries to get to one salary. They can't send out three salaries to get two salaries, but you can send out $35 million and take back a $15 million and $20 million guy. So I think that's a really important piece of this, that it does give you flexibility. And what we've seen, and you know, this is part of Brad Stevens' plan, is that, you know, as long as the Celtics are good, it really feels like he does not have any intention of really relying on the draft. I won't say that he's not going to build through the draft. He'll still have the projects that he goes through and make sure, you know, I mean, we will see what Jordan Walsh turns into, but you know, Sam Hauser as a guy that you kind of pick up off the hat, the, you know, scrap heap or whatever you want to call it, like develop guys. We've seen him find Luke Kornet, you know, so he's going to find ways to build, you know, on the fringes, but we're not going to see him feel like, you know, if say Drew Holiday does decline 2-3 years from now, to be like, hey, listen, if I give you Drew Holiday and 2 first-round picks, but I can get 2 rotation guys that make sense around the Jays who are still in their prime. And we'll talk to Eric White here in just a second. I know our guy Phil has a question in the chat that we'll get to. Like, then you're going to have the ability to do that and be able to still break that up. So I think you're right. I think the 4 years, like I was expecting a little bit more, like 3 years, 30 mil each. But I think at the end of the day, like if you're going to pay the tax, like you're going to be paying. So if Wick and that group is willing to pay it, then by all means, kumbaya, let's keep this shit together. Like so far, it feels like this is the way, like this is the path, right? Like this is where it feels like it's all heading towards. And of course, we'll see what happens this postseason. But when you look at this team having security, stability, and a foundation, you know, next year and really the next 2 years, you have everybody that you really like. That whole starting five, other than Drew Holiday, beyond next season, right now is guaranteed to be back. Peyton Pritchard's guaranteed to be back. And then you got to start looking to, you know, the Sam Hausers and Derek White, most importantly. Al's getting older. We'll see where he's at, Tillman, so on and so forth. But to have 4 members out of your 5 starting lineup guaranteed for the next 2 years, that you're right now winning at, you know, an all-time incredible pace with the net rating and many other stats that you can find, like that's a nice security to have for your team, that nobody's going to be looking over their shoulder about when am I going to get mine, when's my payday coming. And it allows them to be fully bought into that team mission that they've all talked about throughout the season.
That was some Stephen A. Smith level breath control there, my friend. There were a couple times I wanted to jump in, but you were just on a roll. I want to go back 3 minutes when you were talking about like the Celtics' ability to bring in people through the draft. Right? Mm-hmm. You mentioned Sam Hauser. We just signed Kata, which yep. Obviously wasn't through the draft, but it's a young guy that, you know, we're investing in throughout this season. I think it's a team option for next year. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, team option for next year. And then you got Jordan Walsh, who's playing, you know, the Maine Celtics are 1 game away from winning the G League title right now. And by all accounts, I haven't tuned in to enough Maine Celtics. I'm hoping that tomorrow night I can watch that that championship game. Jordan Walsh apparently looks great. You know, apparently looks great. He's a young kid.
There's box scores say he looks great, at the very least, that's what I've seen.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Well, and I'm seeing all over Twitter people talking about how great Jordan Walsh looks all season, right? I purposefully haven't tuned in to the G League, to the main Celtics, because I want to just wait until he's in Boston. But I think I'm going to tune in tomorrow night just to kind of watch with my own two eyes, because I want to see it, man. I want to see the kid play. He's young. He's raw. He's got great measurables. The 3-point shot, the numbers at the 3-point shot look great. You know, he's an active defender. You know me. I think that he reminds me of a less athletic Andre Iguodala, just like his overall skill set and everything. So he's someone that, as we look to the future, and maybe we have to move off of Jrue Holiday, maybe we have to move off of a Derek White, God forbid we have to move off of a Jaylen Brown. Like, there are going to be other young guys that are coming up through the pipeline, and the G League is one of the best G League teams in the year that were of the, you know, one of the best G League teams in the entire league.
Yeah.
And we can bring in some guys like DJ Stewart's playing great. Jrue Peterson is a potential Sam Hauser replacement. Should Sam get a bag from somebody, as he should try to get. So there's all this stuff still in the pipeline, but the fact that we are locking in the core and Jrue Holiday being such a valuable piece to everything that the Celtics have been trying to do to unlock the, you know, the hidden ingredients to win Banner 18. Yeah. I think it makes a hell of a lot of sense. You're going to have to pay. He was going to be highly coveted on the free agent market. You didn't want to see him end up in Philly. They had a max slot this summer.
Good point.
So I think this is a really good move by the Celtics to lock in Jrue Holiday. Great analysis, Greg. Good move to sign good players.
It's this is some hard hitting analysis that we have right here. Jrue Holiday is good, and we're happy to have him back. Let's get to a question that we got here from Phil in the chat here. Shout out to you, my guy.
Cool, hey, genuine. Guys.
Hey guys, hopefully C's can sign D White, but that may be tough with the Jrue signing. And that is true. That is kind of like the one factor that, and that was actually like Greg talked about, we were shooting around for our game, our men's league game that was supposed to happen that didn't happen because of the power outage. And that was the first thing that our boy Remy, who broke the news to us, said, but now we're not going to sign Derek White. And you know, my first thought is that, listen, like I think this ownership group thus far, Up and before this year, or before maybe this offseason, I guess, they had always said if the team was right, that they would go ahead and they would pay the luxury tax if it was the right time. If it was the right time, the right team. They're backing that up right now with everything that they've done thus far. So, you know, I think when it comes to Derek White, so he's extension eligible. He's still got another year on his contract for next season. So next year, no worries. Derek White is back as a Celtic. Then it really becomes, what does that average annual salary look like? And I know that there's a limit to what the Celtics can pay him on an extension right now. And the question is really, has he played himself above that extension? And that's when this could get a little bit dicey. But at the end of the day, if Wick and them are willing to pay it, like, I don't see Derek White getting away from the Celtics. He's too valuable. And despite what that's going to mean financially now, think about it, the year after Derek White isn't, you know, under contract anymore, Al Horford's going to be coming off the books. I mean, I think part of you, Greg, you mentioned with Kata, it's a team option for next year. I think part of that is, you know, we'll see what happens with Luke Kornet and Xavier Tillman, who are both unrestricted free agents. I would imagine not both of them are back. And part of the reason Kata got a 2-year deal with the team option is so that they have somebody ready to go in that slot, and they'll probably have to determine between Luke and Tillman, and that will probably be a big factor as to who plays better this postseason, who's the better fit for, you know, maybe a, you know, 4-year, 12, I don't know what it's going to be, 4-year, $15 million deal, something along those lines. I have no idea if those numbers will be what it is, but ultimately, I'm still under the impression that I think Derek White is far too valuable to get away. I don't know how they're going to make it happen, but I would still fully expect that. I don't know if he gets an extension this season, if it becomes something where they play it out a little bit, but I'm having a really hard time picturing this Celtics front office watching how valuable Derek White is and letting him get away.
Yeah, and I think with, you know, Jrue Holiday being locked up through now it's 27, 28, Jason Tatum obviously is going to sign his extension. Jaylen Brown's locked up. Kristaps Porzingis signed his extension. So we have a window. I think the window is through the end of next season with Derek White, right? And just like Jrue Holiday, there are going to be plenty of teams around the NBA that are going to be salivating for Derek White, right? whether it's in the, if he becomes an unrestricted free agent, if we can't get an extension done, or if we sign him to an extension and whenever he becomes trade eligible, other teams are going to want Derek White on their team, just like other teams are going to want Kristaps Porzingis. Other teams are going to want Jaylen Brown. Other teams are going to want Kristaps. I think the key is that we aren't signing shitty players to bad contracts. We're signing great players to market value contracts. And because of that, we're always going to be able to move off of that unless there's a catastrophic injury where that player doesn't,
right.
It doesn't look like who they are. The only person that kind of fits that mold is Kristaps, but his extension doesn't scare me, man. He's making what, 30 a year.
He's 36 this year, 29 next year, 30 the year after, basically 60 for the next 2 years after the season.
So he's signed through 25, 26.
Exactly. So right now, his only the last year of his deal lines up with the free agency of Derek White.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Celtics aren't putting themselves in a bad situation, even tax wise, because they're going to be able to move off some of these guys because of the value that they all still have. Derek White is 29 years old. Drew Holiday, I think, is either 33 or 34. Kristaps is still on. Kristaps is like 28, right?
Let me look that up. I'm not positive. I think he's about 28, 29, but yeah.
Yeah. And you know, the Jays are still in their mid 20s right now. Tatum just turned 25. Yeah,
Kristaps, 28 years old. He'll be 29 years old this summer.
Right. And you don't know what 7'4 is going to age like, but right. We do know that he looks the healthiest he's ever looked. There's the talent around him where he can play 55 games, no problem. And you know, he doesn't have to push his body to the limit in the regular season, and he can actually be saved for the postseason. The Celtics are not going to put Kristaps Porzingis in harm's way in the regular season. They're just not going to do it. So they're going to have a plan with all of these guys to make sure that even when people are sitting out, you know, they still have the talent to win 62, 63, 64 games in a season, mm-hmm. because the talent on the team is just, every other fan base just looks at the Celtics and they're just jealous of what we have, right? We have size, we have athleticism, we have shooting, we have defense, we have two-way players. Not many other teams have guys that can do things on both sides of the ball and are in their prime. We are set up for absolute success over the next, you know, 2 to 3 years before Wemby takes over the league.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it right now, to me, it really feels like that 25-26 season, if they get an extension done with Derek White, you're still in the last year of Tatum making $37 million before he's going to jump to above and beyond where Jaylen Brown's at with, you know, estimated to be about $57 million. That $53 million the same year that I'm talking about.
Jaylen Brown's worth the money.
Yeah. And my point is, I think once Tatum, that 37 is going to basically double to 70, that's mm-hmm. when you're going to see probably either Kristaps or Derek or Drew. There's going to have to be some movement financially, but I think Derek White's going to get some type of deal done because they're going to try and leverage that year that you have Tatum left at that $37 million I think they're going to hopefully try to get Derek White for maybe $25 million, maybe somewhere in that range. I know because the thing is, if he gets the unrestricted free agency, someone's going to overpay. Someone's going to overpay and take Derek White.
There's a limit, right? With the extension, you can only go to like a certain percentage.
That's why it might get to unrestricted free agency. And that's where it gets a little bit scary. So we'll see. Derek White's it's going to be a little bit of wait and see because he's earning himself the right to, you know, put his name out there and see who the highest bidder is. And so that could be a scare. That's an area that's it's out of their control though, right? Like, that's totally out of their control for what may happen with Derek White. So I think with Holiday, they had a little bit more control because of the option that was looming for next year where they can provide security, and he was going to get a similar deal. There was no one that's going to blow the bank open. I even saw, let me find this real quick here. I think this is from Woj, and Bobby Marks had this as well. It might be missing one guy, but Holiday will become the fourth player to sign a fully guaranteed deal worth more than $100 million at age 33 or older. There might be a fourth guy in here, but can you guess those three?
Say that one more time.
Holiday will become the fourth player to sign a fully guaranteed deal worth more than $100 million at age 33 or older. Can you name the other three, potentially four guys, but I think let's go with three right now. Let's see if you can name them.
They're current players?
Yeah, current players.
Oh man. Well, LeBron was doing the two for like the sign one and one deal. So I don't know that LeBron would be on that list.
LeBron's on that list. He did it with the Lakers because the Lakers, he signed a longer deal. Yeah.
Okay. So LeBron, KD.
Nope.
No. And this is an extension.
Just a fully guaranteed deal worth more than $100 million at age 33 or older. So I think KD might have been a little bit younger. Would have been the issue on that one.
Oh man, yeah, I'm not going to come up with names. LeBron is the only one. No.
So we got LeBron, we got Steph Curry.
Okay.
Our guy Al Horford.
All right.
But I think Draymond was 4 years for $100 million, but it might have been like technically just on the line. Bobby Marks had Draymond in his. Woj didn't, so I don't know if Draymond actually counts or not.
I was gonna guess Steph, but like if there's one thing I'm really not attuned to, it's contracts. Like anything that has to do with math, I'm normally out on, and like contracts just end up getting into like too much math. But yeah, I was gonna guess Steph, but I couldn't remember when he signed his deal. If it was like three years ago, or you know, because he's what, 35 now.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's very humbling that all these guys are in our age bracket right now. And like this is like that question was geared around, hey, do you know who the oldest motherfuckers are to sign $100 million deals? And it's all dudes that are in the 33 to 36 year age range, which is exactly where we fall.
Yeah, when I got home, Danielle, my fiance, was sitting there with me eating some Frosted Flakes together, as you do when your very fiance is pregnant. And I just asked Siri. I said, "What's 135 divided by 4?" And Danielle looked at me because she didn't know I was talking to Siri. And she's like, "Why are you asking me that?" And then Siri goes, 33.5. And she goes, is that million? Danielle says, "Is that million?" I'm like, "Yeah, we're talking about millions. I was looking at Drew Holiday's extension." She's like, "Jesus Christ, I can't believe people make that much money." Because she doesn't know anything about like sports contracts or anything like that. She's like, "He's making $135 million over 4 years." And I was like, "It's all, you know, we can't be comparing what we make in our line of work to what they make. There are people that look at us and say, hey, we want to make as much money as them." So you can't get envy when you look at NBA player contracts.
You can't get green with envy.
You can't get envious of the green. That's right.
There you go.
Before we wrap up here, I wanted to talk to you about a couple other things. Are we going to do a live stream tomorrow? Because we're doing a live stream right now. And I feel like we're talking about all the things we're going to talk about tomorrow. So I want to save some meat for tomorrow's live stream.
Because we'll know what the injury report is by then. So we'll talk a little bit about Celtics strategy of resting players. And honestly, we'll probably spend a lot of time on the live stream tomorrow just dissecting wherever the East is at. I haven't checked on any scores tonight,
but Giannis's
the East
injury.
Is constantly shifting. Giannis's injury. So we'll have some stuff to chat about tomorrow. So that's a great reminder for those of you listening here. Tune in today, likely by the time you're listening to this, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central. We'll be hitting you with a live stream ahead of Celtics Knicks. We'll take a look at the standings, take a look at any other injuries that have come up. Obviously, talk about the Giannis injury from the other night with that calf strain. He's already been ruled out for the final three games of the regular season. The next time we're going to see Giannis will be maybe in the 2-7 matchup, maybe in the 3-6 matchup, maybe in the 4-5 matchup. I don't know. The East is wild. I don't know what's going to happen. So we'll check in with that, but make sure you guys come join us, bring some questions. Exciting times, man. Extension for Drew Holiday, playoffs around the corner. It is a fun time to be a Boston Celtic fan. That's going to do it for this emergency podcast of Green with Envy. I'm your boy, Will Weir. That's Greg Menakis. We're going to hit you with a little black sheep optimist. Just you guys know.
Yo, I flipped it like Simone Biles. Miles from a throne, see me smile because I found peace while I'm at home. I rhyme a little bit different, got that sound of my own. And with the time limit, I'm shifting, man, I'm proud that I've grown. It's that right time to rise to the occasion, put the pen up on the paper and flip the occupation. I'm getting motivated, it's goals to be created. I'm making this a moment, there's no time for waiting. See the city from a bird's third eye word. I learn to observe that the many won't find. Don't mind me, flying to the moon, doing fine. See, sliding on the ground, I'll take another cup of rhymes, please God. I lost a dollar and a dime piece. They found me on the floor while I was trying to find me.